turn around. Every now and then I get a little bit terrified, and then I see the look in your eye. Turn around, bright eyes. Every now and then I fall apart. Bright eyes. Every now and then I fall apart. Turn around. Every now and then I get a little bit restless and I dream of something wild. Turn around. Every now and then I get a little bit frightened and I'm lying like a child in your arms. Turn around. Every now and then I get a little bit angry and I know I have to get up and cry. Turn around. Every now and then I get a little bit terrified and then I see the look in your eye. Turn around, bright eyes.
By day, Justin Bond and Kenny Melman are mild-mannered New York 30-somethings, but at night they become Kiki and Herb, a septuagenarian cabaret duo who used to hang out with Grace Kelly, Billie Holiday, and just about every other showbiz legend you can think of. As Kiki and Herb, they've developed a cult following in the city's club scene, but they're making their Broadway debut next week in Kiki and Herb, Alive and on Broadway at the Helen Hayes Theater. So it is with great pleasure that I welcome Ms. Kiki Durain and Herb back to my show today. Hello.
Hello, Leonard.
Nice.
How
are
you?
Yeah.
2 years ago, you did a one-night-only performance at Carnegie Hall called Kiki and Herb Will Die for You, and it was billed as your farewell show. So what happened?
That's
was
true.
Kiki and Herb too young to die?
Well, the only reason they allowed us to do that Carnegie Hall show is if we promised we'd die afterwards. And I, you know, we had every intention of dying. I was sort of hoping, you know, to just get a little bit of a rest.
Praying,
but
really.
Unfortunately, my sister Candy was taken ill, and I spent the last year taking care of Candy. And they said, Kiki, would you be interested in playing Broadway? And I said, anything to get me out of this house. Yeah. I'm sick of sick people. So I thought, well, let's go and do Broadway. What the heck?
And you don't feel like you've really made it by doing Broadway?
Well, you know,
isn't that the ultimate?
Years ago. You can't. I defy anyone to prove that I haven't performed on Broadway before.
True.
Kiki, is that your given name?
My real name is something that I've forgotten a long time ago. It's on a birth certificate that was lost
burned.
In a fire. My family never
fire.
Really filled me in.
Herb, how did you and Kiki meet?
Well, we met in a children's home, right? Yeah.
That's where we met. Yeah. We met in an institutional in Western Pennsylvania. It was a government-run facility. It was, you know, it was
lovely.
Nice. We got 3 square meals a day. I mean, to be perfectly honest, I wish that the government still had places like that so I could retire. I mean, the only reason I'm doing Broadway is because I don't have,
health insurance.
I've got to work. I don't have any retirement fund. I'm in show business. So, you know, I'll just
keep doing it.
Keep on dancing and singing until I drop. I mean, frankly, I'd rather just sit in some place and have some stout girls bring me 3 soft food meals a day. That would be wonderful.
Herb, I guess you never worry about upstaging Kiki.
It's impossible.
I've never heard a last name, although Kiki has one. Are you one of those stars who doesn't need a last name like Cher, Madonna, or Charo?
Well, the only last name I have is E, the letter.
Herb E?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I grew up with a Herbie.
He was the 5th Herb to go into the institution.
He was the 5th foundling Herb.
Yeah.
Herb A, Herb B,
Herb C, D, and
Herb E.
Herb E.
Can audiences expect to hear their favorite Kiki and Herb tunes in the Broadway show, or are you going to give them mostly new material?
Well, I imagine every Kiki and Herb tune is a favorite.
Of someone.
Yeah, but not necessarily... Yeah. These are songs often that other people have made famous. You perform something by Bright Eyes and the Wu-Tang Clan, not the sort of thing I'd expect from people of your advanced ages.
Well, we try to
keep up with the times, the trends, you know, keep relevant with the young people. And I enjoy music. I enjoy, you know, I enjoy the rap. I enjoy the hip and the hop and all of that. The folk. I've always enjoyed folk. We put out a folk record in 1962. It didn't do very well, but we enjoyed recording it.
And we heard Love is a Battlefield, a Total Eclipse of the Heart medley from your last show. Kiki and Herb Will Die for You as we came in. Will you be performing that?
Well, we just did a few tryouts in Philadelphia, and, you know.
So did a couple nights.
And we did it a few of those nights. I don't like to get stuck doing anything. I don't want people to expect anything, you know.
Do people in Philadelphia get you the way people in New York do?
It seems like it, yes. It was an interesting, it seemed most of the audience was either under 30 or over 60. Which I thought was fantastic.
Lots of walkers.
Lots of, yes, so lots of people on canes.
That's not what he meant.
What did you mean? Yes, walkers, there were people on walkers and canes.
What do you think of that?
We'll talk about it later. In your years of performing, you seem to have met so many of the greatest stars. As I said, you have stories about Billie Holiday, Grace Kelly, even Maya Angelou. So who's the most fascinating person to have been around?
I was always a big fan of Grace Kelly. A lot of people thought of Grace as this sort of, you know, very serene, kind of gorgeous, swan-like creature. But she was a lot of fun. She was a pistol.
You knew her before she became a princess?
I knew her before she was even a lady.
I see. So, you've been doing this in character. Do you find yourself slipping in and out of character, or do you is this only something you do during performance?
Well, hopefully it's something we only do in performance.
Right.
I mean, when you're talking to friends or family, do you suddenly ever find yourself realizing that Kiki or Herb could do it better?
No.
Yes, you do.
I do, okay.
But only his accent, because the character is such a strong character that if something's funny that would sound good in Kiki's voice, you will drop into it, but it's not like you drop into the personality.
No, I don't kind of get confused. Who is that guy in Death of a Salesman? Although I do think it is a world-class performance. The guy who lost the guy who lost his mind because he was Willie Loman for too long. Who was that
really?
Actor? Yeah, the original Willie Loman, he kind of got...
I thought it was Lee J. Cobb.
No, Lee J. Cobb.
Really? He lost his mind? He had a great career afterward.
And then there's the good story about Judy Davis, who after she did the Judy Garland TV movie, had written an email to someone saying she was having a really hard time losing this character because she enjoyed it too much, and she was finding herself living as Judy Garland.
And she was insisting that Liza call her mother.
Exactly.
She was stalking Lorna. Yeah.
So what happens when something that usually is a cabaret act or a little more, a concert act, suddenly winds up on a Broadway stage?
You get a set. You get real production. Yeah, they give us a set.
Terrific lighting. We kept it very simple. I always sort of pictured doing the show with the scenery and with good production values, but I didn't want to have anything until we could have exactly what we wanted. So the milieu of the nightclub, and even when we were touring, just using a cabaret table and a mic and a chair or a stool has worked very well for us. But now that we're on Broadway, I'm excited that we get to, you know, have a sort of conceptual setting.
But it's always been my sense that, Justin, when you're doing one of Kiki's monologues, there's a certain amount of improvisation. Maybe I'm wrong. Is that something that can happen during a Broadway performance as well?
We were very careful. We had gone on tour last fall, and the show was very set. And then we went to Sydney, Australia, and we sort of reconvened and opened up the show a bit so that there are places inside the show where Justin can improvise, that we can just sort of go off in tangents, bring in current events.
Right, because when we played the Cherry Lane, when we were off Broadway for 6 months, it was a set show. It was an interesting exercise as an actor, but it was not very interesting as a performer because it was the same thing over and over again. And I felt like it lost some of the spark, and it didn't keep me very interested. So we have built into the show the ability to just sort of, you know, riff on something that happened in the news that day or whatever. It makes it more
Kiki does that a lot. She can be rather outrageous when she's talking about politics. Mm-hmm. I was wondering how many of her opinions are a reflection of your own, Justin.
I don't really know. Sometimes I say things that I don't mean at all. Yeah. And sometimes I very rarely say things that I find, well, to be personally... Well, Kenny, help me.
No, well, politically, we're both obviously lefties, I would assume.
Well, I mean, you know, on certain issues.
On certain issues. And so the politics of the show were certainly coming from the left.
And well, Kiki is definitely an old lefty, and And I have.
But
I
she actually calls for violent action at times.
Yes, whatever it takes, you know.
Revolutionary.
My favorite thing I saw on the television the other day was with these serial killers in Arizona, and they described their actions as recreational violence.
Yes.
And that phrase really appeals to Kiki.
I mean, it's an amazing phrase.
It is an amazing phrase, recreational violence.
They were doing it for fun, and they were killing people. At a few points in the new show, the tone does get pretty serious. So you obviously feel that that it isn't all just making people laugh.
No, I mean, I think we make people laugh because we like to make people happy. But on the other hand, I wouldn't want to just get up there, and I'm not interested in being a comic. I mean, I think of myself as a comedian, but not as a...
A comedian?
A comedian, yes. Charles Bush that refers to himself as a male actress? But, I mean, I do think that it's important to have a reason to be on the stage other than just, you know, to have everybody think I'm amazing.
Well, one of the... which you are, of course. One song is a ballad about a gay dancer working in the days after September 11th. It's rather affecting. Who wrote that?
Mark Eitzel of the American Music Club, which is a San Francisco band, and I had heard him open for the band Low when he performed that song and gave the introduction that he was at this strip club outside of Washington, D.C., and had this moment where he thought, this is exactly what America's about, and freedom and patriotism, and he wrote the song, and I was blown away and crying, and so eventually he released it, and it became, I think, one of my favorite Kiki and Herb songs.
That's my favorite song
and
to sing.
Nicely, I sent a version to Mark Eitzel, and he really, really loved it. So,
now you
that was nice.
You've been in Europe.
It was nice that he liked it, not nice that you sent it.
No, exactly.
Well, I think both things were very nice.
I thought it was generous that I sent it to him.
When you perform in Europe, where English is not always the first language, do they get everything?
Well, we had this amazing experience in Branau, Hitler's birthplace in Austria, where we thought we were playing Salzburg, but we ended up in this little town.
It was so crazy. We landed in Salzburg, and this guy picks us up in a car, and we're driving. Where are we going? Branau. And
about 10 minutes later, he's like, oh, it's the birthplace
of
Hitler.
Yeah, he warned us that it was the birthplace of Hitler, which, of course, you know, in a certain way,
was perfect.
Very exciting.
But we did the show the first night, and they weren't laughing, and we got really worried. It was the first time we were really playing a country where they did not speak English as their first language, and he took us aside after the show and said, look, don't expect laughter. They think this is just an awful story. They're loving it, but they think it's a horrible story of this woman
people.
And her abused gay piano player. And like,
they took it exactly as no irony whatsoever. It was just a horrible story. And they would
be standing applauding, weeping at the end of the show. I mean, it was brilliant.
And these women from the local television news were asking me how I could understand the plight of women and the feminists, which, you know, I do think that on a certain level the show is very pro-feminist. But I thought we'd never experienced that before, where it was just so literal. Every line was taken so literally. It was interesting.
Do you, I know we said earlier that you were supposed to die at a certain point. Do you plan to keep on going? Is there an expiration date? You've been together how many years? 17 years now?
Something like that.
Yeah, geez.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, I think we were...
How do you keep it going? I mean, that
you know, you have your ebb and flow and ups and downs.
I mean, the Beatles broke up after just a few years.
Well, you know, I defy you to come up with, like, a double act that is still around after, you know, so long
anymore. Steve and Edie
are still around.
Of course, they're married.
But, we, you know, we built these characters into their 70s and 80s, so we at least can grow into them.
I wanted to not have to worry about how I look, and fortunately I don't. But, but we do things, you know. Kenny does his solo things. I went away for a year to study at St. Martin's College, and you know, we go and do interesting things, and then we come back together. And I think I'm enjoying it more now than I ever have. So,
we're gonna go out with you performing "Temptation."
Ooh, nice. Haven't heard that one.
Kiki and Herb.
Nice.
Kiki is Justin Bond, or Justin Bond is Kiki. Herb is Kenny Melman, or vice versa. They'll be performing in Kiki and Herb Alive on Broadway, which starts at the Helen Hayes Theater August 11th, just a few more days.
I know, crazy.
Thanks so much for being with
Thank
us.
Thank you, Leonard.
Thank you.
You're a heaven, a gateway, Oh,
you're my everything, my darling.
Just like a feeling I need, it's no joke. And though it hurts me to see you this way, betrayed by words we've never heard, too hard to say. Up, down, turn around, please don't let me hit the ground. Tonight I think...